Welcome to the Be the Adult podcast. Be the Adult is a nonprofit organization that provides blueprints for calm and effective parenting so that children can grow into their best selves. Because ultimately, we aren't raising children. We are raising little people who will one day be adults.
Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Marisol. How are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing well, too.
So this week on the podcast, we are going to combine two themes. The first one we're going to start with is Believe in Me.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the 15 concepts for calm and effective parenting. So I'm going to read from our children's book, from the children's perspective. Believe in me. Why is it important? This shows me that I'm a capable person who can work hard to try to achieve anything that I set my mind to. If you don't believe in me, it will be really hard to have faith in myself. How? Please be my biggest supporter by saying encouraging things to me about my ability to succeed. And what I love about this, so I should mention, you know, we have a children's book that we had a contest here locally in town, and children drew pictures. I love this picture because the little boy is on his father's mm-hmm. shoulder, and he's holding a second place mm-hmm. ribbon. And I love that because we live in the society, I feel, that, you know, we just pursue first.
And right.
Winner take all. And it's like, no.
Praise effort. Praise effort.
Praise effort. So believe in me. Tell me about this one. Why is this so important for children?
Wow. My brain just left for a moment. My body's chilled. I'm just kind of taking a minute because this is so important. Like, mm-hmm. I'm making a fist, a fist of like strength, of like a solid rock. I believe that one of the most important things we can do, and when I say that, I'm like, wait, there's like 10 really important things we can do. But one of them is to really instill in our children the belief in themselves, right? Kind of that, that they feel good about who they are in their soul, that sometimes they screw up and make mistakes, but really in their soul, they're solid and they rock. And so this to me is such an important concept because it really talks to me about kind of how they go out into the world and deal with anyone and everything, mm-hmm. right? Because if I can believe in myself and I, then I can approach everything from a solid strength-based position, mm-hmm. then I'm going to take so much better care of myself in life than if I approach life from a fear-based, kind of shameful position. Yeah.
Would it be accurate to say self-worth mm-hmm. plays a huge part in this?
Oh, for sure.
Children's self-worth?
Yes.
If their parents don't show up believing in them,
mm-hmm.
that they will grow up to feel unworthy.
Yeah, they won't believe in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're, when they're born into the world, whether it's one parent or two parents, right, they believe that they look to us to kind of give them their self-worth. And if we don't communicate that, how are they supposed to feel that? If the one or two people in the world who are supposed to believe in me, have my back, think I rock, whatever word you want to use, and they don't, I must not. Mm-hmm. I must suck.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is such an important
yes.
concept.
I would definitely say so. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions
okay.
from for the audience perspective.
Okay, sure.
So what's the difference between believing in me and supporting your children? I'm trying to think of the right phrase. For instance, you have a child that comes to you, says, I want to try tennis.
Mm-hmm.
And you sign them up and you support them and mm-hmm. they go. And then you just, they don't have a natural mm-hmm. instinct for it. They're not very good.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting it bluntly, they're not good tennis players.
Sure.
What's the distinction between them coming off, you know, after a while, giving them all the time, believing in them, mm-hmm. supporting them, but also being authentic with the reality? Because I'm not trying to make a saying. Joke of it, but there's this fine line between believing and supporting your child and being delusional.
And bullshitting them.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yes. That's much. So I want to get that cleared away because I don't want our audience members to be like bullshitting their kids. Like, you are fantastic.
Yeah, no, no. Great question. Yeah. So, well, we could do a whole podcast on, on being inauthentic, right? So in this context, right, we don't want to lie to our children, right? We don't want to be inauthentic. We don't want to bullshit them because that will decrease trust, right? And so that, to me, is the most important part. It's going to decrease their trust and being able to believe that what we say is what we mean, right? Mm. That integrity. So it is a fine line. I would, in that example, want to praise my child's effort and praise the pieces around playing tennis that are authentic for me. Like, hey, sweetie, I appreciate how you get up, you know, every Saturday morning and you go out to that court and you work really hard. Mm-hmm. That is so cool to watch.
Or I appreciate how much you love tennis.
Yes, exactly. Right. So we find the pieces that are authentic within those mm-hmm. situations and communicate to our child our belief in them in those areas. Does that
Excellent.
Make sense?
That's the exact clarity I was looking for.
Because then, besides in the moment, we want to keep their trust and show them we have confidence in them, we're actually teaching them the nuances of that, of, wow, I'm going to praise myself for my effort in studying for that exam, right? I went to the library and studied for an hour every single day for a month before that college exam. I'm going to pat myself on the back, right? If I didn't do well, it's not that I suck. It's, wow, I'm really proud of myself for, I believe in myself for being able to put the effort in. What do I need to do now to do better on that exam? Mm-hmm. Oh, I need to maybe go to my professor's office hours, maybe figure out how to study different material. Or so we really want to teach them nuances of taking a situation. It's not all or nothing, black or white. It's let me look at that, realize the areas I need to appreciate myself and the areas that I need to grow.
Yeah, I completely can see that. And, you know, speaking of self-worth and, you know, I love when you said if the first, you know, the number one and two person in your life aren't giving this to you. Mm-hmm. To speak to that, you know, why this is so important to get it, to give yourself that belief mm-hmm. is it's a uphill mm-hmm. journey that's so hard. And so
we can do it. It just makes it so much more difficult.
We can do it. It's so much more difficult, but we don't want to do that to our the next generation.
Right.
So raising kids who, I don't want to raise kids who think that they're perfect.
Overinflate it? No,
yeah. Or that they're going to achieve great success in everything. You know, mm-mm. that's not what this is about. This mm-hmm. is, that's why I love that second place yeah. ribbon. It's not about achievement, believing in their achievements, or it's just believing in your child.
Yes.
That support and that love that every child deserves from their parents.
Exactly. And when we can pay attention to the previous concepts we've talked about making good contact with our child, being present with them, showing them that they deserve, that they feel good enough, they deserve our attention and our time, really helps build this in them. It's not just sitting down and praising this certain their efforts and all that. It's like every day showing them that they matter to us shows them that we believe in them, right? And helping them get to know all aspects of themselves, right? So they can appreciate the aspects within themselves that they like, that they might be a great writer. Maybe they're not as athletic, but then it's like, okay, I have that awareness. I know that writing comes naturally to me and I appreciate that about myself, but being athletic doesn't. How do I feel about that? And what do I want to do? Am I okay with that? I'm not going to play tennis anymore. I'm going to go try swimming or something else. Or, you know what? That doesn't come naturally to me, but it feels really good to try to get better. So I'm just going to hang in there, even if I never hit it over the net. Yeah. It feels good to me to try. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of stuff we're talking about.
And I also think the society, or our society, it's really difficult on the kids because everything is put on them as far as like achievement and yeah. best of and, you know,
keeping up
and mm-hmm. that they don't even understand what to, you know, they don't feel good about themselves, not even from a parental perspective, mm-hmm. just from all the messages society's giving them, like,
right.
you're not good enough because you're not this or that or that.
Right.
And so it's super important for the parents. I'm laughing because it seems so obvious to say, but it's not obviously practiced. And I, mm-hmm. you know,
for all
and
of us,
I yeah. had to learn as well, is to believe in the kid. Believe that the child can succeed in whatever they want.
Right. Believe that they have that they have the effort, mm-hmm. or they can put, sorry, better way to say it, they can put the effort in.
Yeah.
Right. There's some great research. I know there are a lot of people who research this, but one that comes to mind is a video by Carol Dweck, D-W-E-C-K, I think. And it's a great video on, you know, the research praising effort versus kind of praising achievement, mm-hmm. and who the kids that are raised or in the classroom, their effort is praised, really strive
And succeed.
To succeed,
I mean, yeah.
even harder.
Yeah. And so, I think even the word success is kind of loaded, because I think we might think success means this, like mm-hmm. academic or financial success. I've come to a point in my life where I feel success is being joyful or at peace. Mm-hmm. Everything else mm-hmm. is just gravy. Mm-hmm. So I think this is really important for children.
Yeah, and also for us, right? Mm-hmm. Which kind of piggybacks on the podcast we did before this, Apologize to Me. I want to show my children that I believe in myself, right? And so, and this, I guess this goes into the last one of living as my best self, which we'll get to, but I want my children to know that there are times I don't believe in myself, and how does that feel, mm-hmm. right? That doesn't feel good. That's an old wound, right? And I can change that. I can increase my self-awareness and do my work to learn how to believe in myself more. Mm-hmm. And there's so much value in modeling that for our children.
That's good. That's a great point.
Yeah.
I have one follow-up question in the sense of, what if you have a child who does not believe in themselves, who maybe not because of the parent, maybe just because of environmental reasons, mm-hmm. does not, you know, I'm not smart, I'm not mm-hmm. this, I'm not creative, mm-hmm. I'm not whatever, pretty, talented, whatever their self belief is, mm-hmm. what are the steps that we can, you know, a parent can start taking to try to alter that?
To guide them out of that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a great question. So first thing we need to do is get ourselves calm, right? Get ourselves self-regulated so we can show up and have a conversation with them where we're not being reactive, right? Because that's going to, I imagine, trigger in me some shame of, wow, how did I screw this up, that they're, that's mm-hmm. what they're saying, yes. right? And so beating myself up and looking at history is not going to help me. It's going to keep me stuck. And so I want to say, okay, here we are. This is how my child feels. What do I want to do to help my child move forward? Well, first I need to show up very present with them, and I need to validate. A lot of us, when we watch our children suffer, right, and say those things, it's really hard because we're triggered, but we need to sit with that with them. What typically we do is we get reactive and we dismiss it because we don't like watching them feel pain or suffer. So we'll say, that's not true, you're really smart.
As you're saying this, I'm thinking of a if you're watching my facial expressions, I'm thinking of a conversation this week I had with one of my children that I need to now circle back.
Okay, cool. good self-awareness, right? I'm patting you on the back. So, yeah, so please make sure we don't want to dismiss their feelings, right? Because we think it'll make us feel better and them feel better if we'd say, no, that's not true, you rock at playing tennis or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. But actually, that will cause more harm because in this moment, they feel a certain way and we need to honor that, even if we don't agree with it, right? Or in this moment, they're going to be like, see, I do suck because how I feel is not even okay.
So let me give you a scenario, and can I be the child and you be?
Sure. So I was going to explain. Yeah, but that's even better.
Oh, no.
We'll role play it.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
No. We'll role play it. Go for it.
So let's say I'm a child that just got her end of year results mm-hmm. and was below average, which is a term that drives me absolutely bonkers. But I read it as a child and it says, I'm below average, I'm below average, I'm below average, and I'm feeling below mm-hmm. average. Can you show the role play where it's not to do, which is probably what
I've not
done.
To do.
Yes, and
yes.
then we'll role play what you should.
Okay, so this is what not to do. So that I probably got triggered, right? Because I can imagine how that would feel as a parent, like, ah. Right. And I don't want my kid to feel that. I see their face, I see their tears, whatever. So I get reactive, right? And so I say, oh my gosh, you know what? That's not true. You're not below average. You're an amazing piano player. And you know what? You can always get above average. And so you're fine. You're good. Don't worry about it. Hey, you want to go shopping?
Oh my God, you just played out the scenario that I did. No, not with the below average, but
oh no.
No, I'm kidding. But I do need to circle back.
Okay. So now
let's do it again. So I look at the result. Oh my gosh, I got below average.
Okay. So I get myself calm, mm-hmm. centered on 2 feet, so I can be present with you. And so I want to look at you first, make eye contact, open heart to open heart, sit down with you and say, wow, when I hear you say that, my heart feels really sad.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And just open.
And space. Just sit for a moment, because I want to share with you my experience of watching you beat yourself up, of watching your shame, and just share with you, like, wow, that hurts my heart. I actually have tears in my eyes.
You do.
Yeah. And then you might say, what if I say that as a teenager?
You don't understand. I feel dumb. My classmates are smarter than me. I'm stupid.
Yeah, I hear you, and I get how you might feel that from what you're looking at. And again, I want to share that my heart feels sad. I'm curious for you, what is it like to say all that to yourself and say that out loud to me? How does that feel?
Crappy.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you have a choice right now if you want to feel crappy or not, right? I know for me, life's hard enough. I don't want to add to my suffering, right? I don't want to add to the pain. It was painful to read that. I hear you, mm-hmm. and I get why. And I have a choice. You have a choice in this moment whether I want to add to that pain and suffer more, because that's going to decrease my probability that I can actually work on this and change it to feel better. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go further into the hole. Mm-hmm. What's that like for you to hear?
Okay.
Cool. I hear that you're not happy with what you're reading. I would love to sit down with you, right? Let's schedule a time Saturday maybe or sometime this weekend to sit down and really look at what this paper means. Probably means that there was a series of tests that you didn't perform the way that I'm hearing you want to. I would love to sit down with you, really look at what this means on paper and problem solve with you, kind of maybe how you got here and maybe how you might do it differently if this doesn't feel good to you.
Yeah, that sounds better than what I did, which was
okay. You're beating yourself up right now. Model for the audience. Oh, yes.
I will circle back and let you know how that conversation goes. No, but it's funny how it sneaks up on you as we're talking about this, because it is a perfect example of you could have these concepts, you can be practicing them for years, mm-hmm. and you still will have a blind spot and be like, oh, I need to circle back and do this differently or better or in a more authentic way.
Can I give you an example of that? I live, eat, and breathe this stuff, and I screw up all the time. One of my children yesterday texted me kind of where he was. He was going on a trip and he texted me where he was and all that. And he said, I just want to make sure that you weren't worried about me. And so I text back and I said, me worry, with like a really funny emoji. And he's like, ha ha. Right. And so I want to, when he comes back from his trip, I don't want to bug him now, but I'm going to circle back and say to him, you know what? I realize that I communicated to you probably too much anxiety at times. That is what I learned from my mother, sweet as can be, but she got it from her mother, like worry, worry, worry. And I'm going to have a conversation with him. I'm like, I don't want you to feel like you have to take care of me. So I appreciate that text, but I also want to own my part and talk about with you. Kind of,
oh, that's great. Yeah. It's kind of crazy how it comes up.
It comes up all the time when we're aware.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't planning on thinking, you know, but then as you were talking on this podcast, I was like, oh my gosh, I need to circle back and have this conversation.
What growth, though, to circle back, and how much respect you're going to get from your child, and you're teaching them to circle back, and it's all good.
And, you know, it's also, it always goes all of this to me, for me, always goes into intention. Mm-hmm. I think the intention for most all parents, I think, is to try to do their best.
Absolutely.
But we don't have the tools sometimes to show up as our mm-hmm. best. Life isn't set up for us to show up as our best. It's every day is, you know, it's a new day.
Yes.
To live your best.
Absolutely.
So we're going to finish up this podcast with the love me concept. So reading from the book, from the child's perspective, why is this important? This allows me to feel that I'm lovable and valuable person. This will help me to love myself and to have loving relationships with others. How? Please tell me that you love me and give me loving hugs every day.
Mm.
So
warm smile.
This one seems, honestly, probably the easiest for me to talk about on a podcast, because who doesn't love their child? But it could be the hardest to put into practice if it's not something that you grew up doing.
Exactly.
So I'll speak for myself. I did not grow up with hugs and kisses and rainbows and unicorns.
Should we fatten those figures of what your metaphors would be, Marisol?
So physical contact for me, like hugging and saying I love you, was not, I mean, I gave birth to twins, and I remember this overwhelming sense of fear that took mm-hmm. over me, but that overwhelming sense of like that I had to protect the child mm-hmm. was there. But love for me was kind of this
like foreign
concept. Mm-hmm. Like I had it, and my children know I love them, and but I'm expressing that this isn't necessarily natural to people if they didn't grow up with it. So even my oldest daughter, which was one of the things that broke my heart, not broke my heart, but hurt my soul, was a few years ago. She said, I don't really remember you hugging me a lot as a child. Mm. Now, mind you, I was grade mom and I was mm-hmm. Girl Scout leader and I was Cub Scout leader, mm-hmm. but I didn't give that, you know,
physical
touch, because mm-hmm. it's still, even to this day, it's something that I have to work through. True. Like I'm a hugger, but it took me years to get to that mm-hmm. point. Mm-hmm. So what do you have to say about that? Because it sounds easy. It sounds like love me.
Yeah, sure. You know, well, a lot of parents say my kid knows I love her. And I know, and even I do a lot of marital counseling later or couples counseling. Well, you know, I love you.
Yeah.
Right. But we don't take the time to show. And that all circles back. Here we go again from our family of origin. Someone said to me, so everything's from family of origin, right? I'm like, well, maybe not everything, but most of this stuff, right? Because mm-hmm. we kind of, from our experiences, learn how
That's
to
what
be,
we know,
right? Yeah. So anyway, back to your question. Come on, brain. Okay. So when we communicate love, we're being vulnerable. And vulnerability can turn out beautifully. When I'm vulnerable, when I'm open, vulnerability really in a nutshell is allowing myself to be seen, right? And so when I say I love you, I'm opening my arms up, my heart is exposed, and I am now vulnerable to you. You can see me, the most vulnerable part of me, right? And you can either do one of two things. You can hold my heart. Well, that's not true. You can do a lot of things, but one end of the spectrum is holding my heart. The other end is my heart gets squashed, the polarity of that, right? Mm-hmm. And so vulnerability is this really difficult concept, right? Because it can turn out beautiful or not, right? And so I could feel shame or I could feel just warm and fuzzy. And so if we didn't learn as children to sit and be vulnerable, right, this is going to be hard to be vulnerable with you and say I love you and hug you and all that. Because what if you turn your head? What if you turn away? What if you say I don't love you, mom, or our child says that to us? So that's one piece of it. Another piece of it, it just wasn't modeled for us. And so like, well, someone will say, I know my dad loved me, but he never said it to me, but I still knew he loved me. Or I know my dad loved me, but he never hugged me, right? And so that's just what we learn. I express love just, you know, by showing up or going to work.
Or just existing.
Existing, yeah. Right. And so it's a skill. If we didn't learn to paint, I mean, it's just like that, right? It's just, but it adds the piece of vulnerability in there, which is why it makes it so difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I can speak for myself. Not being hugged as a child, mm-hmm. it was. I mean, imagine the most awkward scenario of a mother trying to hug their children. That was me for a long time. Right. It was just because you don't.
It doesn't come naturally,
and it. But I've forgiven myself for mm-hmm. for that. I don't judge myself. My kids don't judge me for that. They understand, and it's funny because it evolves with time. It changes with time, mm-hmm. and I remember all of us in our house kind of as a goodbye, we'll be like, love you, like mm-hmm. But you have to also look in the eye, open your heart, and be like, I love you.
Yeah,
like,
feel it.
Yeah.
It's
a different than a throwaway love you.
Exactly. Yeah. It's more about being present in that saying, I love you, mm-hmm. right? And so what I would want, right, because I'm kind of guessing you're going to ask me some suggestions for our listeners, which I appreciate. So if you don't feel like you do this enough, mm-hmm. do this, meaning express your physical and emotional love, saying I love you, giving your children hugs, right? Sit down with your child and say, I want you to feel my love for you. I'm hoping that you feel I love you. Is that true? Mm-hmm. Check in. Because if they say no, then we have some other work to do. But hopefully they'll say yes. And then you say, do I show it to you? Because I know I think it, but do you hear it enough for me? Do you hear it in a way that you can receive it? Do you feel it? Because physical touch, there's a lot of research, right? It releases some beautiful mm-hmm. Chemicals in us. So I want you to feel my love. I want you to know it, and I want you to feel it. So kind of tell me, what is it like for you? And they might just stare at us like, oh my God, what is mom saying or dad saying? But that's okay. Just expressing it is going to show our child how much we love them and how much we want them to feel our congruency with this. And then circle back, every couple weeks, once or twice a month, just say, hey, can you feel my love? Can you hear my love?
Is that a song?
Oh, probably. If not, let's make one.
What about, because I'm thinking of the parent who thinks in their mind mm-hmm. that they express love in different ways. Like mm-hmm. the mom who just cooks with love and is constantly feeding their child. Or the one who reads to them every night. We should all read to our kids every night when they're little. But what I mean? Like that their actions are the love, that they don't necessarily need to express it with the phrase,
right.
I love you.
So there's, I forgot what book it's about, love languages, right?
Mm-hmm. Love languages.
So we all express love in different ways. Mm-hmm. And if we look back at our family origin, it's pretty clear often to see what we learned and so what was modeled and so what we're doing. And that's all great, too. And there's the and in there. I really want our children to feel like they matter enough and respect them enough to, I'm not going to pretend to know that me cooking brownies for you every Friday night shows you that I love you. I want to know what it's like for you, right? I want to know what you need to feel loved, because I want my child to stop and think about, hey, mom makes cookies for me. What's that like for me? Well, that feels great, but she never says she loves me. Huh, right? And so I want my child to know that I care enough to ask them. And each child's different. Mm-hmm. They need different things, and they're going to need different ways of us to express this and different amount of times we say we love them or hold them or hug them. I also want my children, when they're out in other relationships in the world, to not project, right? To not make up stories that someone else might love them because they bought them tickets to a concert, right? Mm-hmm. I want them to actually know what they need to be clear that the other person actually does have their back, actually does respect them and love them, et cetera.
We model that for them.
Exactly. We also model it, it's a good point, by them watching us. If there's two parents in the home or two partners in the home, we're modeling for them what love is too and how you communicate it and all of that.
I literally just felt our audience go, what? It has to be a whole another episode.
It does. Maybe we should do a marital podcast or a partner podcast. Because if we do a great job of telling our kids we love them, but yet they don't see that going back and forth between the adults in the home, that's going to add a different layer, because we're teaching them what adult relationships look like. So they're watching us. Mm-hmm. And so that is another podcast, but that is another piece.
And that's why I'm single.
Yeah.
No kidding.
That is a piece to be aware of, yes. Right? Of how is love communicated in the system, in the home?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I could totally see that, because you can give mixed signals. You mm-hmm. can be sharing your child with love, but if they don't see that in the adult relationships, mm-hmm. they're going to get conflicting messages.
Yeah, they are. And then they're probably going to go out in their relationships and believe that that's how they deserve to treat someone or be treated. Or,
yeah,
it's going to be very confusing.
I feel like we just opened up a whole new can of worms right before we're hanging up. Well, thank you, Nancy.
Thank you. Thanks for posing such intriguing, thoughtful questions.
We have one podcast left, listeners. We're going to do our wrap-up podcast mm-hmm. next, Live as Your Best Self. So please make sure to check us out, and thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Be the Adult podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and don't forget to rate and subscribe to our podcast. A special thank you to a few of our Barn Dance Barbecue fundraiser sponsors for their generous support. Wilmington Gastroenterology, Coastal Carolina Radiation Oncology, the Valentino Family, the Law Office of Jeffrey Porter, Carolina Storage. See you on the next episode of Be the Adult Podcast.